The Orange and White game, it is tomorrow. The number one thing you got to be on the lookout for when you're watching that Orange and White game and the implications that can come from it. Your Orange and White game preview today on Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, good people? Welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols, and I'm your host, Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys for making it your first listen each and every day. We're a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. That is your team every single day. Shout out to the everydayers. Appreciate you guys for coming back and taking in Friday's episode, getting your weekend tailgate started with us here on Locked On Vols. Cue of the day, what player are you watching for tomorrow in the Orange and White game? What player? It can be anybody. It's probably going to be a quarterback. I understand that. They're the most fun position to watch. It is the most fun position to watch, of course. It makes everything go. But what one player are you watching for in the Orange and White game tomorrow? That's the cue of the day. Let me know by tweeting me, DMing me, or filling up those comments on the YouTube channel where you probably are already subscribed, Locked On Vols YouTube. If not already, please go ahead and do that. Got a fun show coming up here today, your complete Orange and White game preview, what to expect, the format, all that type of stuff, some of those big-time themes, recruiting implications coming from the Orange and White game, that's coming up in segment two, and NFL draft quarterback tiers, a discussion from general managers around the NFL. Where does Hendon Hooker rank in the NFL quarterback tiers heading into the NFL draft in terms of prospects, that, and a whole lot more coming up on your Friday Locked On Vols. Okay, so the Orange and White game format. A lot of you guys have been asking me kind of what it's going to look like, and I've pretty much been telling you that it's going to be offense, defense, not going to be a true game-like situation, but I do have some notes for you, and this is what to expect in the Orange and White game coming up tomorrow. I wrote this in the practice observations on Thursday over at VolQuest.com, so if you read those, I'm just going to kind of regurgitate them over here verbally. Are they going to split the team in two? No. Will it be a Butch Jones skills contest special? No, but the best way to describe it is it's going to follow the same script that Josh Heupel did in 2021. Remember last year in 2022, they were doing construction over at Neyland, so there wasn't a spring game and there wasn't anything open to the public. Now, they did have a practice over at the Anderson training facility where they tried to make it a scrimmage-like, and they had recruits and they had family over there to watch and media got to watch, but there was no spring game, if you will. So if you remember back in 2021, and we discussed that on Throwback Thursday on yesterday's show for you everydayers, it kind of looked like this. There's going to be an orange team, there's going to be a white team, but it's going to be offense versus defense. They're not going to take the team and put, okay, quarterback here, and then over here, running back on this team, running back on this team, and so on and so forth. It's not going to be that. So one series will be, just to keep score for the fans, really, one series will be the orange team drive. The next series will be the white team drive. So Jalen Wright, Dylan Sampson more so, could have 30 yards rushing for Team Orange and 20 yards rushing for Team White. You know, does that make sense? The score means literally nothing in this game because they're not splitting the team down in two. So that's just kind of what it's going to look like. The score is kind of more for the fans. Bottom line, it's going to be offense versus defense. And, you know, throughout the contest, they'll put them in different game-like situations, red zone, 4 minute, 2 minutes, third downs, third and long, third and short, fourth downs, all that type of stuff. And you're going to have each first team go up against the second teams normally and kind of vice versa. Very rarely in spring games do you see ones versus ones. Now, we could see it, but very rarely do you see that. You'll see, you know, the first team offense going up against the second team defense, or the second team defense going up against the first team offense. That's pretty much the same thing. I just flipped it there. Or the third team offense going up against the second team defense, you know, stuff like that. We could see ones versus ones, but typically that's not what you see in a spring game that's open to the public. Now, they do that in practice every day. They do that behind closed door scrimmages and all that type of stuff. But that is kind of what I'm banking on there. There will be four 15-minute quarters, just like a normal football game. A running clock is likely going to be present in the second half. I don't know for sure if it's like, okay, third quarter starts, it's automatically a running clock. I don't know that for sure, but I would expect a running clock in the second half. And also, Josh Heupel can go out there and say at literally any point, hey, you know, we're done, right? Now, he won't do that in the first half, but if my memory serves me correct, in the fourth quarter with more than a couple minutes left, Josh Heupel went through and said, hey, last drive, if you will. They have a certain amount of plays that they want to see from each group, and so that's kind of typically how they keep track of that. So likely a running clock sometime in the second half, and Josh Heupel can go out there and call quits, whenever he wants to. Now, again, he's not going to do that after just a couple of plays. You want to get in some work, and, you know, people are going to be paying the price of $5 admission to get in there and watch, so you're going to make it worth it, but doesn't mean you're going to complete four full quarters. So halftime's going to be 10 minutes in length, and offense will be in white jerseys, defense will be in orange jerseys, the quarterbacks will be wearing the smoky gray uniforms. And again, quarterbacks are off limits. You cannot touch quarterbacks whatsoever. So that, again, is kind of what it's going to look like in the spring game. Now, this goes without saying, it's been kind of the theme of spring already. There will be oodles and oodles of players who will not be participating in the orange and white game. Why? Well, there'll be some who are recovering from offseason injuries who have been out the entire time in spring, right? Your Brew McCoys, your Jabari Smalls, your Brandon Turnages, guys like that. There will also be other guys who have been banged up quite a bit in spring practice and have been held out. If it was a real game, they would play, but I would be shocked if Romel Keaton plays. I would be shocked if Aaron Beasley plays. I'd be shocked if Jalen Wright gets any considerable run. We'll see if Keenan Peely gets any work. He was then doing some individual on Thursday at practice and then went inside the Anderson training facility to get some side work done. We'll see exactly kind of what that looks like. Cooper Mays will probably dress. He said the other day that he's going to play. If he plays, it will not be more than maybe a series or two, in my opinion. That's just kind of how spring game works. Again, guys that you know are going to help you on Saturdays in the fall, you know, you want to get them some work in and everything, but you do not want to take the risk of injuring those guys. You want to build depth in spring practice. And again, I'm not trying to say these guys aren't working. I'm not trying to say these guys aren't getting anything out of it, because they are. They're practicing. They're going through drills. They're going through individuals. They're doing a whole lot of live-on-live, 11-on-11 stuff. But just in some of these settings, in a game-like setting, you're just not going to risk it right now. There's no point. So I would expect a lot of guys to not be playing or to be dressed and on the sideline the majority of the time. You're going to see a lot of young players, a whole lot of freshmen, a whole lot of underclassmen, a whole lot of guys who are fighting for starting positions for Tennessee playing in the orange and white game. So I'm excited. It's going to be a fun time. Really, really looking forward to it. And, man, we're there. We're going to tie a bow on spring practice 2023. It's really just flown by, to be completely honest. Couple practices every single week. We've been out there observing as much as we can. It's been good to speak with assistant coaches and players over the course of the last month. You got a whole lot of that. And we played some of that audio right here on the show as well. So that's been a whole lot of fun. For me, what I'm going to be looking for, I'm going to be looking at the offensive line play. Some of those guys who I think are going to factor into the starting five next year, like I'm going to be looking at the tackles an awful lot. How do they look like, in run blocking, getting up to the second layer? How do they look like in their pass set, trying to, base and keep those speedy Leos, those edge rushers, out of harm's way? What do they look like? What does Addison Nichols look like at center? I think that he's going to get a whole lot of run at guard in fall camp and try to, have an opportunity to be a starting guard and enter that race in fall camp. And I think he's probably gotten a little bit of work at guard this spring, but he's been the backup center this spring, and a lot of times when Cooper Mays has been out, he's been with the one snapping the football. What does he look like? I'm going to be watching that. And, of course, the secondary. Who's where, what's going on, who's working with who. Really thrilled to be watching the secondary this spring and try to get some questions answered. What does Gabe Judulalia look like? What's Jordan Matthews and Ricky Gibson look like back there? What's Jordan Thomas look like as now a sophomore? So that's kind of the things I'm going to be looking for. And again, if you're a VolQuest.com member and a follower of our sites, we'll have complete coverage following that. And right here on Locked On Vols, we'll be back Monday morning, and we'll dial it up. We'll tell you everything that I saw and go over it in great detail. Recruiting implications that can stem from this weekend. Who are some of those top targets going to be on campus, and what's this mean in the long run? That is coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. But hey, if you're looking for a delicious snack but don't want all the sugar and calories that come with it, then you need to try the best-tasting protein bar ever. That is Built. You've got to try it. If you're like me and don't want to sacrifice tasty or tasteness, or let me try that again. If you're like me And we want to make healthier snack choices, but don't want to compromise taste. See, that's how you say it. I've got the thing for you, Built Bars or Built Puffs. They're healthy. They taste amazing. You've got to try it. They're so good because they're 100% real dark chocolate. 100% real dark chocolates. They have unbelievable flavors. Like you guys know, I love the cookies and cream, peanut butter brownie, and churro. But also, they only have 4 grams of sugar, but they have a whopping 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories as well. And now you don't have to wait around at your mailbox for a box at Built.com. For years, we've been telling you to order at Built.com, and you still can. But now your local Walmart or Sam's Club can offer Built Bars or Puffs for you as well. So try them out today at Sam's Club or Walmart, or as always, you can order online. That's at Built.com. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Vols, your Friday edition. Shout out to those everydayers, and if you're an everydayer, you'll be tuned in on Monday, and we'll have a complete wrap-up, a complete ending thoughts, my big takeaways from Tennessee football spring practice, and of course, the Orange and White game that is coming up on Monday's show. Right here on Locked On Vols. All right, recruiting. Implications from the Orange and White game. What's that mean? Well, there will be tons and tons of prospects who are on campus. There'll be a couple of top flight prospects on campus. There'll be at least one commit that I know who's going to be on campus. And it can go a long way. Again, you know, I think that if you are a prospect, it would behoove you more to see a team for a spring practice. That way you can go in and watch film with them. Go out and watch how coaches interact with the players during individual and see how a practice works and all that. And Tennessee's hosted several prospects for practice days over the last month, right? But also these prospects are going all over the place too. So in order to, you know, still fit Tennessee in their schedule, they're going to come to the Orange and White game. And it's still, you know, you're still going to get an awful lot out of it, right? You're still coming and you're going to see a game-like setting. You're going to get to see Tennessee's offense, Tennessee's defense. These guys can be on the sideline at times. They'll be sitting right there behind the right behind the north end zone as well. So, you know, what are some of these recruiting implications from Tennessee? Well, Tennessee is ranked 7th in the country right now for the class of 2024. 8 commits, 4-star quarterback Jake Merklinger, 4-star tight end Jonathan Echols, 4-star cornerback Caleb Beasley, 4-star wide receiver J.J. Harrell, 3-star safety Marcus Gorey, 3-star offensive tackle Gage Ginther, 3-star defensive lineman Carson Gentle, and 3-star offensive tackle Jesse Perry. That's Tennessee's class so far. It's a really solid class, you know, built on the strong pillars. Need to go get an edge rusher. I mean, obviously a lot of work to do, only 8 commits, but at this point in time, that's not too shabby, right? Who are some of these prospects who I highlight that are going to be on campus? And there'll be plenty more than this, don't get me wrong. First, we'll start with a 3-star safety from St. Francis Academy in Baltimore, Maryland. His name is Edries Foro, I believe is how you say his name, and I might be mispronouncing it, I'm sorry. Edries Foro. He is 5'11", 180. He is very interested in Tennessee, along with Penn State, West Virginia, and Maryland is in that mix. Ohio State has offered, but I don't think they're really much in the running. I think Tennessee is doing a lot of good work here, and having him on campus this weekend is going to be big, and I think Tennessee's in a decent spot with him, but you know, could go a long way this weekend with Edries Foro. Again, I'm mispronouncing that name. I know I am, but a really nice, you know, safety talent from St. Francis Academy that produces a lot of good athletes for sure. He's one that I'm marked that's going to be on campus this week. Also, Jordan Ross, highly rated 4-star prospect. Edge rusher from Birmingham, Alabama. In fact, if you look at the On3 industry rankings, he is a 4-star, the 36th prospect in the nation, number 5 edge rusher, and 4th best prospect out of the state of Alabama. Jordan Ross, who has been on campus plenty of times over the last year for Tennessee, the teams with the highest recruiting predictions over at On3, Georgia, Tennessee, Auburn, and Texas. Jordan Ross is going to be back on campus for Tennessee, and that's big. Tennessee would love to, again, you've got to solidify your priorities in each class. For Tennessee, under Josh Heupel, it's been quarterback, and it's been getting after the quarterback. Tennessee has got its quarterback for this class. Now you got to find guys to get after the quarterback. Joshua Josephs, James Pearson, cycle 1 for Josh Heupel. Last year, Caleb Herring, Shadavion Bradley, cycle 2. done a fantastic job in bringing talent in to get after the quarterback, and Jordan Ross would be a really nice add to that. Of course, he's one of many edge rushers Tennessee's after, but Jordan Ross is going to be on campus this weekend taking in the orange and white game. Ethan Callaway, four-star offensive tackle, an on-three top 250 player in the country, 6'7", 307 pounds. He was at one of the junior days earlier this semester. On-3 has him as the number 71 overall prospect in the country. Really, really nice prospect that's going to be back on campus for the University of Tennessee this weekend. Here's the name everybody listening probably knows, especially if you follow recruiting, Edwin Spillman. He is the younger brother of Nate Spillman, who is a Tennessee signee. Lipscomb Academy linebacker, 6'1", 220 pounds. He is the number one player, or a former number one player in the state of Tennessee. He's dropped just a little bit, but still one of the best players in the state of Tennessee. He is teammates with Caleb Beasley at Lipscomb Academy. Again, the Tennessee connections are all over the place. In my opinion, this has been a slam dunk for quite some time, but I think the kid really enjoys the recruiting process, and have at it. This is the only time you'll ever get to do this. Taking those visits, you know, going and being treated like a king anywhere you go, right? You want to go see the big house. You want to go see Neyland. You want to go see all these other, you know, schools. Go do it. I think Edwin Spillman is going to be involved. I'm not saying it's his decision is, coming up soon, because I don't think that's the case. I think this is more towards the summer. But I think Tennessee's in a great spot with Edwin Spillman, but he will be on campus this weekend. Likely come in with his brother, Nate Spillman, who is a signee, but not an early enrollee. You continue to work down the list here. You've got Kamarian Franklin. Cam Franklin is a nice defensive lineman that Tennessee really likes. He's been on campus a couple times this semester. 6'5", 260 pounds from the state of Mississippi. Industry ranking four-star, 33rd overall player in the country per the On3 industry rankings that takes into account On3, Rivals, 247, and ESPN, different weights, as we've mentioned, you know, on the show, You Everydayers Knew. We did that a couple months ago, but a really nice player that Tennessee really, really likes, and we go a big way to see what that defensive line looks like with Rodney Garner and Mike Eckler here on Saturday. The final recruit that's going to be on campus this weekend that I'll highlight, and again, there's going to be plenty more recruits that are on campus. These are just a couple that I singled out, is Tennessee commit right now, Carson Gentle, 6'4", 240 pounds from Macaulay High School in the Chattanooga area. A nice player from the state of Tennessee that came up two summers ago, picked up an offer, came up and camped again last summer, and then ended up committing shortly thereafter that camp in the summer months. But Carson Gentle, one of those building blocks that can help build this class of 2024 for the University of Tennessee. Carson Gentle will be on campus this weekend taking in the orange and white game. So those are some of the top prospects that I kind of circled made note of who's going to be here and who's not. Let me check and just make sure that I didn't miss anybody else. Nope, I got all the ones that I circled there. If a recruit comes here and they can see a big crowd at Neyland Stadium for a spring game. Now, I'm not expecting Tennessee to, you know, put 80 or 90,000 in there. That's not going to happen. This is a spring game, right? But and Tennessee will fudge those numbers like crazy when they talk about the overall attendance that's at Neyland Stadium. But I mean, if there's a recruit coming into Tennessee and has Tennessee in its top three, top four, and kind of has it in the running, and sees a passionate fan base at Neyland Stadium for a spring game, I think that can go obviously a long way. Also, these guys will get to see in person what this offense and defense looks like in a live, you know, live game-like setting, right? I think that can be huge. So you always want to get these guys on campus. You always want to keep these guys away from your competitors' campus. And so getting these kids on campus at Tennessee means that they are not watching a spring game of another school that's in the running. There are a lot of programs around the country that are having their spring games on this Saturday. Tennessee, one of many. And so getting a nice hall on campus to watch this orange and white game is going to be big. Also, this will be the last time that, you know, you can have kids on campus for quite some time, or one of the best opportunities, you know, to have kids on campus for quite some time before, June happens, when it's, you know, open season, baby. That is Visit Central, official Visit Central, unofficial Visit Central. June is the old January, with commits coming right and left in July. And so this is one of the last opportunities that Tennessee can showcase itself, its program, its campus, its facilities, all that good stuff. And you want to have a good showing for sure. And so I think Saturday could go a long way in terms of recruiting from the orange and white game. Now, again, I'm a realist. I also, you know, help and cover recruiting and all that. I think coming for a practice on a Saturday morning is just as impactful than coming for the orange and white game. That is just my belief. But again, it's good that you are here. It's good that you're taking in this scrimmage, this game-like setting and all that at Tennessee, and we'll see what comes from it. But those are some of the big names that I have highlighted that will be here on campus. Three-star safety, Edries Foro, who I think Tennessee's in a good spot with and could do some big-time work with this weekend. Four-star edge, Jordan Ross. Four-star offensive tackle, Ethan Callaway. Four-star linebacker, Edwin Spillman. Four-star defensive lineman, Cam Franklin. And three-star defensive lineman commit, Carson Gentle. NFL draft quarterback tiers. Where does Hendon Hooker and other draft prospects rank in terms of these quarterback tiers in discussions with general managers from around the NFL? Another new article forecasting the NFL draft over at ESPN.com. We'll discuss that, and we'll discuss some more Hendon Hooker. That is coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. All right, guys, we got a final segment left here of your Friday edition of Locked On Vols. Appreciate you guys hanging out with me today. And big-time weekend coming up, orange and white game. That's coming up tomorrow. Tennessee baseball is at Arkansas. That is number 16 versus number 5. That's this weekend starting tonight with game one. Transfer portal season for Tennessee basketball, hosting some prospects. That's big news. And, of course, your cue of the day, what player are you watching in the orange and white game? Let me know at underscore Kaner at Locked On Vols or by commenting on the YouTube channel. Okay, so Jeffrey Fowler over at ESPN has written an article. NFL draft quarterback tiers. Scouts and executives stack 13 quarterbacks in the NFL draft. So in conversations with GMs and NFL personnel around the league, Jeremy Fowler has put some of the draft prospects, quarterback draft prospects, in tiers entering the 2023 NFL draft. Well, there's no shock. Tier 1, Bryce Young is in Tier 1. CJ Stroud is in Tier 1. Okay, I mean, that's probably about right. I think that those two are the undisputed number 1 and number 2 quarterbacks entering the NFL draft this year. I think that we can all agree, even though we love Hendon Hooker, even though we have Tennessee fandom and bias, that the overall consensus is Bryce Young and CJ Stroud are the top two quarterbacks in this class. Now, 3, 4, 5 is very much up for debate, okay? And you're not going to like what Tier 2 is here. Tier 2 is Anthony Richardson and Will Levis. Obviously, Anthony Richardson and Will Levis, in my opinion, are not as good of quarterback prospects as the other two. They've not made the decisions. They have not made all the throws. They have not won as much. Sure, Anthony Richardson and Will Levis both physically have a higher ceiling than either Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, in my opinion. But again, you got to play the game. You got to go out there and make the throws. You got to go out there and win the football games, make the decisions. And neither one of those quarterbacks have done that yet. But again, this is NFL draft season where you draft so much on potential. Not as much as the NBA draft, but the NFL draft for sure. And a lot of times you lose your jobs over it. So if Anthony Richardson and Will Levis are in Tier 2, did Hendon Hooker crack Tier 2 or is he Tier 3? Well, according to this, Hendon Hooker is Tier 3. A lot of good stuff about Hendon Hooker. I will read it right here. This is the meat of the bones here on Hendon Hooker. Quote, Hooker is really Tier 2A, well above the rest of the class after the top four. He was lighting it up in the SEC with 3,135 yards, 27 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions through 11 games before tearing his left ACL versus South Carolina. So it says Hooker is really Tier 2A. But right here it says Hendon Hooker is Tier 3. So wouldn't that be Tier 2B? If they're trying to make this, behind Levis and behind Richardson, I don't know. I think he should be in front of both of them, but that is just me. All right, more on this. Super impressed with him, an NFL offensive coach said. Found myself wanting to watch more. Tools, quick release, smart guy. One NFC executive called Hooker a solid starter in the right situation. I would agree with that. Resembles guys that start for a few years, then maybe they hit, maybe they don't. I can also agree with that. Hooker has plenty of arm, but is not on par with Levis or Richardson, several scouts say. Tennessee or teams are high on his maturity. He's considered organized, engaging, meticulous, and his work and encouragement is really, really good of his teammates. He's also 25 and played football in a college-friendly system, air raid system that coaches and scouts says allows quarterbacks to read half of the field on one read plays while stationary, which isn't life in the NFL. Again, Tennessee's offense is not air raid. People are so lazy. And again, I cover Tennessee. I'm around it every single day. My job, my livelihood revolves around Tennessee football. I understand that. So I know Tennessee football better than Jeremy Fowler, who wrote this story right here. I mean, I know Tennessee football 10 times better than he does because that's my job. It's my life. So I get it. But from the outside, people just say, oh, they throw it around everywhere. It's air raid. 100% false. It is so false. Tennessee runs the damn football. Tennessee has averaged 200 yards rushing in every year with Josh Heupel. Tennessee led the nation with 39 rushing touchdowns in 2022. Sure, you throw it at, you let it rip a little bit, but the foundation of this offense is running the football, and people are just so stupid when they continue to call this an air raid system. Also, again, sure, there are many one-read plays, but it's not like Hendon Hooker never scanned the field, worked through his progressions. I hate reading that about this. Anyway, we'll continue on. Age, injury, scheme. That's the trifecta of areas he has no answer for. Age, injury, and scheme. Okay? An NFC scout said. Added an AFC scout. Some are putting out first-round buzz, but I'm not buying it. But I could see him going to a team that's established, looking at him more as a high day two player. While most consider him a day two prospect, he's at least considered a threat for the first round, which provides fifth-year options on player contracts. That's important for injured players. And yeah, that's something I really haven't talked about much as we continue to preview the NFL draft and talk to Hendon Hooker. First-rounders get a fifth-year player option for the team. If you are looking for your quarterback of the future, and you're going to see a run of quarterbacks go early in the first round. Mel Kiper Jr. has the top four picks being quarterbacks, right, in his latest mock draft 4.0. If you need to find a quarterback and you draft back up or you trade down or you select Hendon Hooker at the back end of the first round, he is coming off an injury. Also, it would be in my best interest and anybody's best interest that you don't rush any of these guys into immediate playing time right away, right? That's big because of that injury to have that fifth-year option. So I could see a team drafting Hendon Hooker, utilizing that fifth-year option here in the first round because he is coming off an injury. So anyway, some good things to say about Hendon Hooker here and also some not good things. Age, injury, and scheme. That's a trifecta of areas he has to answer for. Rough. I mean, again, the people are playing – players are playing longer and longer and longer in the NFL nowadays. I mean, I'm not saying Hendon Hooker is going to be Tom Brady here, but I don't think age is going to be that big of a deal. Most frequent scout executive comparisons, a faster Jacoby Brissett, Geno Smith, Jared Stenham. Jared Stenham? I don't think Hendon Hooker and Jared Stenham are in the same ballpark. I think Hendon Hooker runs circles around Jared Stenham, right? I see Jacoby Brissett, and I certainly see Geno Smith. I understand those. But Jared Stenham? Okay. Scout exec draft range. Bottom half of the first round is his ceiling. Second round is his floor. I would agree with that. He is 100% his absolute floor is the second round. But the bottom half of the first round would be his ceiling. I agree with that. Although, John McClain of formerly of the Houston Chronicle put out his mock draft taking Hendon Hooker 12th overall. Yikes. I don't think that's going to happen. That'd be awesome, but I don't think that's going to happen. Anyway, I found that interesting. So Hendon Hooker is considered a tier three quarterback in this recent article over at ESPN.com. Will Levis, most frequent scout exec comps, Matthew Stafford, Blaine Gabbert, Ryan Tannehill. I mean, those guys have had very, very, very successful NFL careers, but I don't think anybody wants to be compared to Blaine Gabbert or Ryan Tannehill, right? If you're going to be selected in the top 10 of an NFL draft. That's just me. For Will Levis, Draft range, top five is the ceiling, bottom of the top 10 is the floor. Wow, that is just crazy. Anthony Richardson, the comps, Cam Newton, Justin Fields, Josh Allen, Donovan McNabb. Now, I agree with all that. Size of Cam Newton, athleticism of Justin Fields, strength of Josh Allen, and just maybe finesse of Donovan McNabb. That's my evaluation here. I agree with all those comps for sure. I mean, Anthony Richardson is a physical specimen. Draft range, top five is the ceiling, top 10, 15 is the floor. And then for CJ Stroud, the comparisons, Dak Prescott, a more mobile Jared Goff. Draft range, number one is the ceiling, number four is the floor. And then Bryce Young, his best comp is Drew Brees, and his ceiling is number one overall. The floor is number two overall. So anyway, you know, they're going to continue to write stuff, articles like this every single day leading up to the NFL draft. And anytime it revolves around Hendon Hooker or a Tennessee player, we're going to talk about it here on Locked On Vols. But I don't agree that Hendon Hooker is tier three of a quarterback. I would put him at least in tier two with Levis and Richardson, but do understand, and I'm not oblivious here, I do understand Richardson and Levis will be picked considerably higher than Hooker. So if you look at it from that perspective, maybe they're spot on there. All right, that is going to do it here for this edition of Locked On Vols. Appreciate you guys, as always, for tuning in, taking time out of your day to listen to us here on the show, to watch us on YouTube, and subscribe to that YouTube channel. Shout out Everydayers. Appreciate you guys for coming back every single day and taking part of Locked On Vols. I see you, and I appreciate you. Orange and White game, that is coming up tomorrow. Cue of the day. What one player are you watching for in the Orange and White game? That is the cue of the day here on Locked On Vols. Monday, we'll be back. I will break down the Orange and White game and every single angle out there. And I look forward to seeing you on Monday, guys. Appreciate you. Have a safe weekend. Enjoy the Orange and White game. This is Locked On Vols.